Promenade across the floor, sashay right on out the door, and into the glade, and everybody promenade.
You're tuned to the Square Dance Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, October 5th, 2011.
And you're listening to the Do-Si-Do Show, episode 19.
Hi, I'm your host, Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland.
Hi, Dale, and I'm Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. Hello, Square Dance community. Today we're pleased to present the second half of our interview with caller and recording artist Gary Shoemake.
So, Barb, what did you do this past weekend?
This was a Square Dance-free family weekend. I did a few little chores, like I changed out some screens at my mom's house along with my sister and brother-in-law. We all help, and it makes it go easier.
You're a hero, then. That's the deal.
And I replaced a socket in a lamp. Now, there's a challenge. Woo!
So while you're replacing the socket in the lamp, where do you put the lampshade on your head?
I let my sister wear it because she had been out the night. No, not really.
Nice. Nice.
What did you do last weekend, Dale?
Well, last week I told you that we were doing a Segway tour of Annapolis on Saturday and going to a show on Sunday. I got a call on Friday telling us that the Segway tour was canceled.
Oh.
And I found out also on Saturday then that the show on Sunday wasn't canceled, but Callie was not going to be riding, horseback riding in the show. And so we did not go.
Yeah.
So on Saturday, we slept until about 12:30.
All right.
Yes, which was wonderful. Got up, did a little bit of work, and then actually went to a dance, MACA, Mid-Atlantic Challenge Association, held their annual membership dance, and we had a very nice time. And then on Sunday, we went to the Maryland Renaissance Festival.
Yeah. Well, that sounds great.
Yep. A good time.
Yeah.
Before we go on with the show, I do want to say thanks to Erica Nielsen Akamura. We had interviewed her about her book, Folk Dancing. And just recently, I got a copy.
Me too.
And have read through all of the square dancing portions and now have it in my backlog of books.
Brand new on the market, and it's really interesting to read things. I too, only read the chapter on our activity, but it was interesting to read things about it that I didn't know.
Also, I got a note from Erica that she'll be in Baltimore on October 19th, and then traveling the East Coast. She mentioned something about traveling down to South Carolina and then back up to Baltimore. So
wow.
I don't know the exact dates, but if you do get a chance to meet her at one of her book signings, by all means, go out and say hi. And she's doing her part to promote all of the dancing forms, but also modern Western square dancing.
Great.
Who'd you like to say hello to today, Barb?
Dale, this morning it's kind of on a sad note that I want to give a special hello to my very close friends, Tom and Jill. Tom just got a really devastating medical diagnosis this past week. So please, everyone who knows them or don't or who has friends in a similar situation, please send your thoughts and prayers along to those folks.
Will do.
How about you? I hope you have a happy note.
I do.
Say hi to.
I do. At the other end of the spectrum, today is my mother's 79th birthday.
Yay! Happy birthday.
So, regrettably, we'll not be able to go see her. I was going to try and sneak away from work, and things have prevented me from sneaking. So,
hopefully you'll see her soon.
Yeah, I will. But she's 79, and she is feistier than she's ever been in her life. So if you see her, wish her a happy birthday, and then get out of her way, because she's going somewhere.
I heard someone else has a birthday coming up, too.
Yes, indeed. My sister.
No.
My sister will be turning 52 on the 21st, and we'll talk about that when the time gets closer.
But I was thinking of someone even that I might be speaking with right now.
Yes, I will be crossing over into another. The first digit will change here in about a week.
Should we talk about half centuries or not really?
No, we should just.
No, we shouldn't talk about
that. We should talk about something like that next week. Far too early. I'm going to enjoy the last week of my 40s.
Aw. Okay, that sounds good.
but thanks for bringing it up, Barb.
Yeah, sure. Now all our friends will know. And now we present the second half of our interview with Gary Shoemake.
Now, you've talked about Chaparral, you talked a little bit about Rhythm, and you mentioned Paul Markham. Have you worked with Elmer at all?
Oh, yes. I just finished a tune for Elmer called Freight Train, and he's a terrific. He's got a terrific set of music over there, too. It's really great. If you haven't tried it, take it up. It's good.
Okay, and
even if I do say so myself, it's great music. He's done a really terrific job on it.
And Royal.
I work with the guys. I've never had the pleasure of recording for them. Maybe I'll do that before my span is over.
So do you ever look in each other's record box and you pull out a Chaparral and they pull out a Royal and you discuss what's coming next?
No, I don't do that. These days, I don't do that. We used to do that quite a bit, but
yeah.
These days, I don't. But I've been fortunate enough to work with all of those talented people, and I always look forward to it. In fact, when we're working with Tony, Ken and I are working with Tony in Branson, Missouri, at the end of the month, and I'm really looking forward to it because he's such a great talent, too.
Mm-hmm.
A very humble person. Do you know Tony? I'm being a little facetious when I say he's a humble person.
Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble.
Oh, yes, it is, but he's a great guy.
So, Gary, what do you enjoy most about the recording business from start to finish? You've been involved in all aspects of it.
Well, the early on part of it, of course, was the thing that I enjoyed about it was the musicians and working with the musicians and their talent and putting it all together and
mm-hmm.
being successful with it. Today, the area where we are right now, they're getting such good music out of it, but it's all together differently put together, and it's all so digital, you know, that it's the talent is still there, but it's done in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's layered. It started with this, and then it's layered with a drum machine, and then it starts with a one man playing a bass and another man playing a piano and doing all this at different times. And it's quite a phenomenal thing that they're doing now.
So they're not all in one room anymore playing together.
Yeah, that's
is that
yeah,
right?
That's kind of the way it is.
Okay, so switching gears a little bit, what's your involvement with Caller Lab? When did you join?
I joined Caller Lab back in the early inception of it, back in the, I guess, 70s. Even served on the board one term. I became a little, what's the right word? I was
like
a little
disenchanted? Is that what you mean?
Disenchanted, that's the word I'm trying to say. I was a little disenchanted with their overall approach to everything.
I see.
And we talked to them about it early on when they just first decided to put the level system in. We were really worried about the recruiting part of it, what it would do to it. We made our questions known to them, and we were kind of brushed aside by it. They were very, the level system was very successful, don't get me wrong, but it did drain the recruiting base that we had. And we asked them to consider change, and as most square dancers and square dance callers are, they were very resistant to change. And so I became disenchanted with it, and I moved away and I joined ACA. Neither one of them have been very good at being able to come up with a program that is encouraging newer dancers to come in. We all have that, but, you know, in these days and times, to take 40 lessons is just not in the books for today's
yeah.
society.
Yeah, it's a lot of commitment.
And there's no commitment in today's society. They just
right.
do it. And having seen the success of the earlier situations from when we had, when we could produce dancers into a level of dancing, which was the norm, which would be, with 10 lessons we could teach people how to become square dancers. And they did that. We built a tremendously big base of it. And, you know, with 40,000 at a national convention. And we quickly drained that base, and I would like to see that happen and go back again. I would like to see that before I before I go to that great square dance hall in the sky, I'd like to see that turned around and make the recruiting a lot easier for people.
I'm just glad I was involved in its in square dance's heyday when we did have, you know, tens of squares on the floor and not three or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at the, in the early 60s and late 70s, late 60s and early 70s when I was out in the Texas area, every little town out there, Amarillo, Lubbock, Abilene, Midland, they all had their own little festivals. Those are all gone. But back then, those little towns that had those festivals, 100 square festivals.
Oh.
It was just phenomenal to travel down the road when I first started traveling down the road with little or no, advertising. You could get 20 squares. You know, there's just word of mouth. Hey, there's kids coming through. You need to go dance to them. Well, 20 squares would show up. You know, and that was just nothing. Nothing was talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And today, if you had a Monday night dance in Kearney, Nebraska, and you had 20 squares, I mean, you know, that would be unheard of
right. In
today's time. And I'd like to see that back again. But they're going to have to change the entry program to do it. And I don't see many people wanting to change.
Mm-hmm. You had talked about English Mountain Retreat.
Mm-hmm.
How long did that go on? Are you still out there? Or is it still involved?
No, we sold the retreat. It went on for about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
From the mid 80s to the late 90s. We sold it. And it has since sold two or three different times, but not to anyone in the square dance world.
Mm-hmm.
When the decline in attendance began to start in the late 90s, then it took about a staff of about 30 people to operate that, and it just became a situation where we couldn't get the amount of people to sustain that on a week-to-week basis.
Mm-hmm.
We would have a tremendously good week, maybe with Jerry and Tony, and then we would have a small week the next week, and maybe we wouldn't even have the third week. We may have to cancel it because we didn't have enough people. But we couldn't sustain enough to keep it, so we decided to just to sell it and move on. But it was a great run. We had a lot of dancers, and a lot of dancers still talk to me about it today about all the fun we had there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a situation where we brought them in and housed them and fed them and danced them for a week-long program. And we had a lot of fun with it. I still live on English Mountain. When I sold out, I sold everything but my house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I still live up here, so it's a beautiful place.
How many dancers would you get at one of the peak weekends or weeks? Excuse me.
25 squares. That
wow.
was our max. For a week long, yeah. In the late 80s, it was not a problem to get 20 to 25 squares, and with the very top callers and with the most popular callers and with a waiting list. Other weeks we would get 10 to 15 squares, which was very profitable for us. And but as the decline started, then sometimes we would really have to work to get 10 to 15 squares from, and to sustain the taxes and the upkeep and the
staff.
Employees,
yeah.
staff and all
yeah.
that we had to do, then it just became, the last year that I worked at the tax man told me, hey, I think you could probably work the hours you're putting in and what you're coming out of this with, you probably could work McDonald's as a little better price. you better think about it, you know, because we were putting in a lot of hours. I had to get up at 5 in the morning to make sure that the cook was there, and I had to stay until 12 at night to make sure everything was done, and it was a lot of hours.
Would you have dances three times a day, or how many dances would you have during that week?
We'd have it three times a day. We'd have a morning workshop, afternoon workshop, and evening dance.
Wow. And all the meals and.
And all the meals and then in between we were having horseshoe tournaments and butt golf tournaments and afterwards they were having pool parties and it was quite a run.
That was a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah, it was lots of fun.
Well, one of the things we like to ask are some of the, we call them the superlatives. You've done a lot in score dancing between English Mountain and Chaparral and your dances and weekends that you do. What would you say within the square dance activity are you the proudest of?
Well, I don't know. I think I've tried to hold the integrity of it all together as much as possibly. Even today with the music situation like it is, if someone comes to me and says, I really would like to have that music. If I decide to give it to them, then I send the producer $10 if I decide to give it to them. You know, if I feel like that I have to give, before it was easy, I could give them a record, you know, and I could repurchase another one but with the MP3s like it is right now. If I let them have a copy of that, then I send somebody some money and to make sure that they get their due. But, I just think the integrity of it all is the thing that I've tried to uphold as much as possible. Not to say that I haven't had my disagreements with other people, but I think that it's such a wholesome activity. It just does so much to alleviate the pressures of, the thing about square dancing is you cannot think about your job and the problems that you have at your job. You cannot think about your problems, day-to-day problems. If you're out there trying to do a motivate or trying to do, these different calls, you have to clear your mind of all of those things that are upsetting you in order to do this. And it is a mind-clearing, good-feeling situation. You can go to a square dance feeling low and feeling blue, and the music peps you up, and then all of a sudden you cleared your mind with these things the caller's asking you to do and getting you through. And when you walk out that door, all of those problems that you had when you walked in don't seem so grave as they did when you first walked in the door. And it is a therapy that is unique in a way that no one really understands it, but it's just a way of alleviating pressures from people. And you can see him coming in, this grumpy old man coming in the door, and you think, boy, he's having a tough day. And he's smiling when he goes out. You know, two things happen there. He's really feeling a lot better about his whole life. Because all these problems that he had when he came in is not quite as bad as they were when he's going out. And you can kind of pat yourself on the back and say, hey, I've done my job.
That's so interesting that you mentioned that, Gary, because that was one of the first things I felt when I went to square dance lessons. And this was a long time ago. It was in the mid-70s. And I felt the exact same thing. All the problems of my day were gone. So it's nice to hear.
It is such good therapy, and if people could understand that, we could clear up a lot of problems of the world, you know.
So you mentioned your proudest accomplishment. What's the most fun part of the square dancing for you?
Oh, just being with the people and being with the other callers. You know, there's a camaraderie of the callers around the country, and just having a good time with them, you know. If you don't let the business part of it interfere with the good times you're in, it's a phenomenal thing.
Yeah.
What programs do you currently call, Gary?
I only call through A2.
Well, that's not only. That's
a lot of them.
to some of them it is. I mean, I called C1 back in the early 70s, in the early 80s, when I was in South Texas working at RV parks in South Texas, mainly for my own interest in it. And, I taught it, I had to start teaching it in order to learn it myself, and which tells you that I wasn't a very successful C1 caller, because self-taught is not always that great. But the thing that made me decide not to pursue it in that environment down there, where you're trying to get as many people into the hall as you can during a week's time, I found that I was spending 99% of my preparation time for 1% of the dancers, and so I kind of backed off of it, and concentrated more on where I could get the numbers in the hall.
I see. And what programs do you dance?
Same, A2 through A2. Now, according to Steve, I stumbled a little bit through C1. Am I dancing?
Is your wife a dancer too now?
Yes, she is. She does. We took her through advance, but with our daughter being born 10 years ago, that kind of took away from that. So when we were in Arizona working the RV parks out there, she was going through A2 classes with me, and she was carrying the baby and alternating hands trying to get through these classes, you know, because the baby would not allow her away from her that long.
Sure. Yeah, especially with all those crazy people there.
Yeah, right.
So what's your all-time favorite form that's on the Chaparral label?
Oh, Neutron, probably.
Yeah.
Neutron Dance. I still go back and get... Well, my biggest seller probably was Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, and I got a gold record for that one. I you know, there's so many of them. I'm like Dale, I still go back and pick out the good old standards of them and have my way of presenting them, even if they weren't one of some of the biggest sellers.
Yeah. It's got to be a little like saying, which is your favorite child? They're all your favorites, right?
Well, exactly. Very well put. Very well put.
As far as non-Chaparral or a piece of music that you were not associated with creating, so nothing on the Chaparral label and nothing that you've recorded, what's your favorite piece of music to do, square dancing?
Today?
Yes.
Well, Rhythm has a series of phenomenal music that's out right now. His latest releases are really good. He has a redo of Rockin' Robin that he changed the rhythm of it, and he changed, it's not the straight 2-4 beat, you know, hammer down the road. It's a dance style that you can really get into with your voice, and you can do some great things with it. Rockin' Robin is a tremendously good song, and it's on my program most every night. If I'm in a different place, I try not, you know, if I'm at a week long thing, I try not to do the same thing every night. But Rhythm's Rockin' Robin is great. The thing that I did on Freight Train with ESP is really good. Riverboat is doing a nice job. They're doing a nice job of producing music now. And he has some things out that are nice to do. I just finished a thing for him called Funky Town. It's a little different twist, and it's something that's really kind of kicks the floor up. There's a lot of music out right now that's just really good. But those are some of my favorites right now.
Mm-hmm. So we'd like to know something that would surprise us about Gary.
Oh, mercy. I'm not very surprising, I don't think. Well, probably something that would surprise some of the people that have known me for a long time is the fact that, I don't know whether I should get into that or not. In my later years, I'll go ahead and say it. In my later years, I've always had this, but I've taken my religion very seriously. Mm-hmm. And I even today, even in, at the dances if I do a religious song. And he was asking about songs. Another one that I do is Red Boots, This Little Light of Mine, and that's the most phenomenal piece of music that I've ever heard in my life. If you haven't got it, you need to get it. But I try to do a gospel song at each dance that I do each night. Mm-hmm. And of course, religion is a tough thing to get into. And, because there are some phases that think there is different things about religion. Mm-hmm. But most everyone has a religion. So I try to do a gospel song each night, and I preface it by saying, you know, in Psalms 150, they say that the Lord says that we should praise him with tambourines and cymbals and music and dance.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell the dancers that we don't necessarily have tambourines and trumpets and cymbals, but we certainly have people to dance and we have music to do it by. So let's do this tonight. And it probably gives the best response of any song I do at night. But I always preface it with that, because as like I said, there are people out there that do not particularly like you to do that, but I still do it. And I take that very seriously, and I hope that we could include that more in a way that would be receptive to all generations of it. I think there's a place for it in our activity, in our business. And I think that it should be, you know, as it is with everybody else, it's you know, if you go to a country music concert, you'll hear mostly the older guys, but you'll hear a gospel song or something that has to do with it, you know. And I think it should be part of it. So, without getting into any kind of preaching about it, I just try to include it, you know.
I think that's really nice, yeah. And what can we expect from Gary Shoemake in the future?
Oh, well, I'm still out there plugging along, guys. You know, it's been a great run for me, and I'm very, very happy that I can still be in the business at this time of my life. We're taking a group of people in February for a 2-week cruise to Hawaii, and we're going to sail out of Los Angeles and sail over to the islands and sail the islands while we're there, then sail back.
Wow.
It's a 15-day vacation, 14 days of it at sea. And that's one of the things I'm really looking forward to. And we're still doing a lot of weekends around it. We're doing two of them in Branson, one in spring with Marsha Flippo and Ken Bauer and Mike Bramlett and myself. And we do one in the fall with Ken Bauer and myself and Tony Oxendine. And a lot of things going on still. There's still a lot of people that like to do what we do. So we're still plugging along, you know.
That sounds wonderful. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we have one question that we ask at the end of each of the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel that we can do to increase membership and to get more people into the activity?
Have an easier entry program. I think that I have a list of 38 calls that you can just dance the people to all night long with and have a great time with them, and do most of all singing calls that you can teach in probably 10 lessons at most. I would like to see a different entry program. I would like to see that built back the way it was before, so that the younger kids who are both parents are working and have to devote so much time to their children and to the children's activities, that they could take 3 weeks and learn how to do this, or 4 weeks and learn how to do this, and still have a night and be able to enjoy it. I'd like to see the entry level change completely. And this would tax the callers now that depend on these list of calls that are there. It would tax them greatly to make it work Hardcore dancing is fun no matter what level you pursue.
Mm-hmm.
But to make the entry level a lot easier so that we can build that base of dancers back to the was when we first started.
Any final thoughts or anything you'd like to make sure that people heard about you, about things coming up, anything we haven't already talked about?
No, just if they see my name out there that I'm coming through, just come see me. I'd love to see them. And we're still out there plugging along. I'm, still doing the road shows and still doing the festivals and still doing the weekends and such. So I guess when they cross my arms, that'll be the last one that I do.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate your time today. Let people know that they can hear the Gary Shoemake story.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you so much for considering me. I really, really do appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much, Gary.
Thank you,
guys.
Gary.
You bye-bye. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a great time talking to Gary. I really enjoyed hearing the stories. I've never met anybody who ran a resort before.
No, me neither. I was going to comment on that, too. That's, I'm sure it's a lot of work, but it sounds very romantic and glamorous to be able to provide vacations for all these people.
Yeah. I liked what he said about revitalizing the entry program for the new dancers and what has worked in the past and what had worked in the past, and that he'd really kind of like to see a move back to that.
I think it's really interesting to learn about how legends like Gary and how they got their start in square dancing and calling and their other ventures, but what their take is today on how the program has changed or what we can do to keep it going.
Yep, and then always good to know what the surprise is, what the callers feel would be the surprise for us, and I guess I would say I was certainly surprised.
Right.
What do you have upcoming, Barb?
Dale, I have a wunderbar vacation. Oh, by the way, I'm giving you a couple days notice that I'll be unavailable for the next 2 weeks.
I did not approve your vacation. What are you doing? What are you talking about?
Whoops. I'm going to take a 2-week Atlantic cruise along the New England seaboard with ports of call in the U.S. and Canada.
Great.
Going with a square dance acquaintance that I don't know very well and three of her friends.
Sounds like fun and sounds like an excellent story coming up for a future
later
show.
Later in October, yeah. How about you?
Last night I called in Maryland.
Okay.
Tonight I call in Pennsylvania. Thursday I call in D.C. Friday I call in Virginia. Saturday I call in Delaware. Sunday I'm staying in bed.
You're going to as many states as I am and you're hardly leaving home.
I'm calling the entire, most of the Mid-Atlantic, except for New Jersey. Oh, again, thanks to our guest, Gary Shoemake. And this is Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland. Ciao, Barb. Happy dancing.
This is Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. Bye, Dale. Have a good 3 weeks, everyone. I'll see you when I get back.
Bye-bye.
Bye.